So kingdom greetings. Yeah, that's how I tell you, that's a greeting from heaven. You're like, well, how does it? I haven't been in heaven, but yeah, that's how they say good morning in the heaven, in kingdom. You know, it's like, I greet you in the name of the Lord. Pretty much that's what it means. I greet you in the name of the Lord. This morning I was praying for you guys. Man, I tell you, I'm going to start with this. I love you guys. I love my church. Seriously. It's like, I love you. Thank you. You know, and I know you love me too. You know, but I don't think I've ever said that here in public like that. You know I love you, but it's just like my time. I was in New York this week. I was teaching at the Kendra's brother has a ministry school up there. Beautiful. I mean, great move. Something we do in Haiti as well. Get about 10 young teenagers, men in the Bible. They're studying the New Testament and many other different subjects. And I was teaching the book of Acts. And that actually, it was a good week just to be in the Word and also listen to the voice of God and pray for you guys, seek God for clarity. But it was just like every time I would be praying for you, I'm like, man, I just love my church. I love. And you know, when we say the church, we're not talking about the building. We're talking about us, you know. And also, I want to acknowledge in Buenos Dias, hermana, in hermano, you know. I want to acknowledge that we speak many different languages. You know, mge mun ki sa Tahiti la ki meme compatriote me ensemble avec me. So we speak many languages here, you know. And what did I say? Bibish too. It been good. It been good, you know. How do you say God in good? God is good in German. God is good, you know. El Señor es bueno, right? See. Dieu est bon. Bon Dieu est bon. Okay? So it's like, I'm very thankful for what God is doing in our midst. And we have the nations here. You know, and this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. So, let's open the Bible in, there's one verse. Once again, this week I was with this every day, but this is not, this is just a reminder for us, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. If this verse hasn't been underlined in your Bible, I would encourage you to underline this Bible verse in your Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. This is make sure you underline this verse. And if possible, if you could learn it by heart or by head, you know, just memorize it. It would be great. I would like to have it on the screen, but in the Passion Translation, if you please, my good sir. It says, I have it here in my Bible on the New Living. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. The Passion Translation says, every scripture has been inspired by the Holy Spirit. The breath of God. It will empower you by its instruction and correction. Giving you the strength, come on, help me out, somebody, to make the right, what? Direction and lead you deeper into the path of godliness. Man, as you remember, I told you the word the Lord gave us this year for us, and I believe he transitioned it to us as a congregation. It's we go deeper. This is the year. If you are this deep in the water of holiness, you need to go deeper. This is the year. If you were this deep in serving God, you need to go deeper. So what do you do when you go in the ocean and you want to go deeper? What do? You walk towards the water, right? You go deeper. I mean, I was very excited when I find the word deeper verse in this Passion Translation. It says, then you will be God's servant, fully mature. Maturity. See, God doesn't want you to remain babies. God wants you to be mature. Everybody say mature. You know, and I'm going to come back with that, not today, but signs of spiritual maturity, I tell you. There are a lot of people, they've been walking with the Lord, but yet when you look at their lives, they're immature. You know, just like you look at some people as well, they're 30, 40, 20, 16, whatever. They shouldn't be act like a five-year-old. But they do. You know, a two-year-old, when they're throwing what they call a fit, tantrum. When they're throwing something like that, you know, sometimes it's understandable, but as the parent, you put the hammer down, you let them know you can't behave like that. But you know, it's kind of understandable, right? A baby, you know, a couple months old, when they wake up in the middle of the night and start crying for mama's milk, it's normal. But if I all of a sudden wake up and start crying, like a baby, my wife would be like, man, call somebody, he's going crazy. Right? Because there are certain things adults do and children do, you know. So you set, you know, child, baby, child, you know, teenagers, adults. And I believe, and I tell you, I will come back to this verse later, but underline these verses in your Bibles. The book of 1 John. And Kendra mentioned it, but I would put a lot of emphasis on it. If you're not part in a home, of a home group, make it a priority to be part of a home group, because the church is home group. Get connected. We've got men's group, mixed group, you know. Talk to Kathy, talk to me. We get connected. If you're not connected, it's not good for you. You want to be connected, okay? So I've been talking from the book of 1 John. And last week, you guys remember, if you don't remember, you could go back on our website and find the message and listen to it again. But I spent a lot of time in 1 John chapter 3. And today I want to pick up. There's three things I forgot to say. And we were talking about sin. It makes there's a reference, cross-reference from 1 John to Matthew chapter 4, where the devil tempted Jesus. And those three areas of temptation. I actually heard, maybe it was Miles Monroe who said that. He said, if anybody can control their time, their eating, and their sexuality, if you can control, but I would add a fourth one, because the Bible says your tongue. If you can control your tongue, we all have that. It says this little tongue there, it's small, but man, it does a lot of devastation. So if you could control your tongue, if you can also control your desire, your sexual desire, and you can control your appetite, eating, hamburger, pizza, kale, sticky buns, yeah, kale, tomatoes, broccoli, celery. You know those things, when we think about yummy food, we don't think about those things, do we? Not really. But if you can control those things, and we read from 1 John, you know, those three areas that we find in where it says chapter 2, do not love the world or the things in the world. It's making mention about the craving for the physical pleasure. You know, if you can control those things, I tell you, you master life. You know, I was reading it in the book of Acts again, Acts chapter 6, where they choose the apostles choose six people to take to help with the church. And one of the key characteristics for these guys, they needed to be filled with wisdom. And when you study wisdom, wisdom is knowledge applied. So when you know what you must see. When you have knowledge and you apply your knowledge, you become wise. So, for example, a wise driver won't go around the curb that says 35. They won't be going 80 miles an hour. See, now a dumb driver might think, well, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to prove I can do it. Well, guess what? You'll die in the name of Jesus. Wisdom is knowledge applied. Okay, so those three areas I also find in the book of 1 John, physical temptation. If you can control your physical temptation, that's why sometimes you won't feel like doing the things you must do. That's why there's a saying in Creole that says, "Mba vive pou sa ven nan kwa, mem vive pou sa dapre sa mkwe." I'm talking to these guys here. See, I don't live by what I sense. I don't live by my feeling. If I could be honest with you, I told Kendra last night, I said, man, this week was so good. You know, when you are in the Word, I spent a lot of quality time with her brother that we haven't had in a long time. It was really good. But I'm tired. Because I do have a physical body like you all, right? So you can only go for so long, and after a while you're like, man, you know what? I need the weekend. Right? I need the weekend. But I don't have the weekend. Tomorrow is my weekend. Seriously, last night I felt like this is the night I could have called the pastor to say, "Pastor, please, could I be excused?" Didn't want to play. It's not like I don't want to. It's just I felt like physically I didn't have the, "Let's go get him." Saturday night, I'm ready. 5 in the morning. I'm usually here by 6 a.m. Sometimes I come in my PJ. Thank God for my shower. I come in my office and, you know, it's like I come in God's house. Guess what? I didn't have that last night. This morning was 7 o'clock. Alarm went off. But guess what? What a privilege. I do not live by what I sense here. That's a sign of spiritual maturity. You're like, well, you don't have a choice. Even before I was in full-time position in ministry, I thank God I grew from glory to glory in my mind, my spirit, and my body. They all agreed that my spirit leads. Because I have a debt, but I don't live by what I feel here. I have a debt. But I live for the glory of God. And then guess what's happening to me? I mean, I'm not tired. I'm experiencing life. I had a good night. I got up. I didn't even drink coffee. Yeah, it's crazy. Because by the time I got here by 7:40, I needed to get some of those songs and stuff. But you know what I did when I felt like that last night? Thank God for my best friend, my wife, my partner. She was the closest to me. I told her, I said, "Honey, this is how I feel." And you know what I did? I grabbed my guitar. I sat in the living room and I worshiped Jesus. I didn't feel it in my body. Even my mind and my body, they were like, "Man, no." I grabbed my guitar and I was just singing. I'm singing to Jesus. And I believe this is the level the Lord wants to lead all of us. So we make it to the place where, you know what? What we feel is right. It might not be the right thing to do. But you don't live but what you feel. You live but what you must do. What you must do. Come on, somebody. You must do. You're thinking, you know what? Right now, this is what I must do. Because you do not want when the Lord returns. find you exactly where you must be. You want him to find you exactly doing the things he's called you to do. And you know what's happening out there. It's not just this generation. It's been happening for years. It says, the branch, I'm going to read this, Romans chapter 1, verse 1 to 17. Let's go there. Of course, I'm branching off 1 John, but it's all good. It's the word of God. Let's go. Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Romans 8, let's go there. Romans 8. Romans 8, thank you, Lord, for your word. Life in the Spirit. Everybody found it? So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. Period. Now, can you imagine someone who's trying to serve God, please God by the law? You know, some of the law that says, don't eat, don't do this, don't do that. You know, women is not supposed to speak in church. Women's supposed to cover their head. Men can't pray with their head covering. Women cannot wear men's dress. Men's clothing. You know, women cannot do this, can't do that. Or Sunday is not the day. Saturday is the day. There's a group of them. Man, there was a group back in the days that says Jesus was coming May 31st. I forgot the year. They were so bold. They put a big billboard saying, get ready, Jesus is coming back May 31st. Don't know what happened to those guys, but the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. What did he do? He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. You see, now this, you must believe it. Jesus had a physical body just like us. You see, what makes the difference and what will make the difference in our lives is when we surrender our lives to the authority of the Holy Spirit. You can't live a Christian life without the Holy Spirit. You need the power, the parakletos, the dynamite. I don't have how you say it in English, but dynamite. Dynamite. You need the explosion. That's it. You need the explosion. And all of a sudden, you used to be so closed. And now this happened in your heart. Then you like, all of a sudden, you're so bold. All of a sudden, you know what you must do. Thank God for Christ. Because he had a body like us. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving us his son as sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Verse 5. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. Such those are controlled by the Spirit, but those who are controlled by the Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So now, a little opening right there. Sometimes people think, when they think about sin, they think adultery, thief, murder. Oh man, jealousy in your heart. In the eye of the Lord, there is no big, medium, a little, medium, big sin. Anything that breaks the law of God is sin. Anything that breaks the law of God is sin. So therefore, sin separates us from the glory of God. Verse 6. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life. And everybody help me out. What's that word? Peace. Oh, I love that. Verse 7. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. You should underline that in your Bible. It says, my flesh is always against God. Let me break it to you. This flesh, we're not taking it to heaven. The crazy thing is, this flesh, I mean, you can make it live under the control of the Spirit, but you always have to keep an eye on it. You know, I put something on our Facebook page. You can go check it out. It says, we were talking about it this week, talent, abilities, reputation. That's who you are in public. Your talent can take, talent takes people many places, high places, but only discipline and character will keep them. Right? You hear of these big guys, you know, stars, news, whatever, pastors, you know, whatever. They're so famous, but yet because they lack character, character is the only thing that will protect your reputation. Example, Joseph. Joseph was a man of character. Samson didn't have character. But was Samson strong? Yes. See, a lack of character will destroy your vision. Can you imagine if Joseph, by the grace of God, didn't have character? So he started messing around with Potiphar's wife, a whole generation would perish. You see, so every time someone who is in leadership live or obey the sinful nature instead of letting their sinful nature controlled by the Spirit, oh God, a lot of people perish. Now, this is not a word of condemnation. This is just the way it is. Because how many people right now are calling the church a joke because so-and-so leader, so-and-so pastor fell in sin or betrayed the way. But we read it last week. 1 Peter chapter 2, don't go there, verse 21. It says, God give us no men for example except Jesus. Let me break it to you. Now as your pastor, my goal is to stay focused on Jesus and living a life that pleases the Lord. And I pray all of you here, you're not dummies, you're spiritual smart. And you look at my life, as long as I'm following Jesus, follow me. But the moment the leader stops following Jesus, please don't follow him. Keep following Jesus. Because Jesus is the only example we have to follow. No men. Now, a leader, like Paul said, must be above reproach. Their life must exemplify the calling. I mean, exemplify, a life that's set apart. Life like Christ. Verse 8. That's why those who are still under the control of the sinful nature can never please God. So anybody like that needs to be saved. That's why stop fighting. You better love. I mean, Romans chapter 8, verse 8. You better love the sinners out there. People who are in darkness, please love them. One of the key birthmark of a born-again Christian, according to 1 John, is compassion. So you will be full of compassion. As citizens of heaven, we must be people of compassion. You have no right to be judging sinners out there. If somebody is just messing around with their boyfriends, or they're stealing, they're cheating, they're backstabbing, and you know they're not following Jesus, you know you have compassion for them. And let your light shine. And whenever you can, you show them what a true believer is like. But it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 8, right there. Those who are still under the control of a sinful nature, they can never please God. So therefore, when I look at your life, if you call yourself a born-again Christian, a true born-again Christian, if you call yourself a believer, a follower of Jesus, I am calling it out, a true follower of Jesus, your life should show. Everything you do, every day, every move, the way you interact, let me tell you this again, even the way you drive. For those of you who missed it, take that Jesus sign behind in the back of your car, unless you're going to be driving like Jesus. Especially when they're cutting you off. But even if you don't have the sign behind your car, in the back of your car, Jesus is right here. Verse 9. But you are not controlled, and I like this, this is a declaration, and I'm weeping it over you. You're not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit. If you have the Spirit of God living in you, and remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him. I tell you, Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. And He's coming back with judgment. When He comes back, of course, we all, the rapture is going to happen. All of us will disappear. In the twinkle of an eye, the dead in Christ will rise. Hallelujah. Oh, I can't wait for that. But it says those who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure. That's it. Can you imagine when that happened? The whole world will be in chaos. Then the end of Christ will arise. But as for us here, be careful. Because according to 1 John, again, if you read it, you know exactly where I'm at. Many antichrists have been appearing. Antichrist is somebody or something that's taking Christ out of you. Don't let your husband, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your best friend, your work, don't let them take Christ out of you. Don't let religious, you know, the Sadducees, you know, those people who are very sad, you see. I love the book of Acts. Don't let them take Christ out of you. And Christ, verse 10, lives within you, so even though your bodies will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Christ from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ, Jesus, from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Verse 12, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have an obligation. That's what I told you. And I think the NIV says you have a debt. You have an obligation to do, but you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. That's another verse to underline. That's another verse to tweet, put on Instagram. If you live by the Spirit, if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death, how? Help me out. Let's not go fast. For if you live by its dictates, who's the dictates? The sinful nature, not the flesh, but my soul, my will, my what I feel right. If I live by that, I will die. But there's hope. Through the power of who? The Holy Spirit. If I put to death the deeds of the sinful nature, what happened to me? What a recipe. No wonder the enemy doesn't want us to read the Bible. No, all scriptures is God's breed, right? No wonder he doesn't want you. He wants us to be listening to all kinds of podcasts. It's all good. I listen to some of them too. We're filling our minds with a lot of voices. We're filling our souls. We're filling our days with so many things. But there, the word of God. Verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received the Spirit that makes you feel fearful slaves. Instead, you receive God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father. For His Spirit joined in our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. Bear witness. And since we are children of God, since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share His glory, we must also share His what? You know, I was reading again the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8, persecution. You see, while we still have it good, be desperate. Be desperate. You know, I tell people, you can come talk to me anytime, but one thing you can't do, you can't complain. Because we have everything going for us. Anyone who is a loser here in America, they choose to be a loser. I don't care. I mean, you don't have to be the product of your environment. You can get out of it. I understand addiction is strong. But if you understand, if you realize, you know, this addiction is killing, is destroying you, you find help. Right? Let's go back to 1 John. That was a little window from 1 John. Verse 1, it says, dear brothers, dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have come from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. This is how we know if we have the Spirit of God. See, in case anybody has been wondering, well, do I have the Spirit of God, or is the Spirit of God in our midst? Is this guy speaking from the Spirit of God? Just like we just read from Romans chapter 8, it says, the Spirit of the Lord bear witness to your spirit, you're a child of God. When I was growing up, the way I understood it, actually, they helped me. I guess that's the way I perceived it. They taught me, nobody can say they're saved. You know, it's always like, Madibat, right? It's like, I'm trying. Are you saved? You know, I'm trying. You know, nobody can't say you're saved. As a matter of fact, some people, some religion, or maybe the way they were taught, you never say you saved because that's boastful. Guess what? You either saved or you're not. And if you're not saved, guess what? You'll know. Because the Spirit of the Lord bear witness to your spirit, you either it or not. Can I have a witness? Oh, I like this. Yeah, I love the word. It says, if a person claimed to be a prophet, acknowledges that Jesus came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. So why arguing with someone who believed that Jesus was not Lord? It's like, no, I gotta show you. I gotta show you that Jesus is Lord. No, please, don't waste your time. No, because in their mind, in their heart, they've already committed that Jesus is not Lord. So, let the Holy Spirit do that work. And you find your peace. And you pray for them. Verse 3. But if someone claimed that to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the what? Antichrist. Which you heard is coming into the world. And indeed, is already here. Many antichrists. It was good. It's good for me for this season to be reminded again. To look deep. What are some antichrists in my life? What are some things? It could be idol. It could be your... It could be whatever. You let the Holy Spirit fill out the blank for you. What are some things that are taking the place of God in your life? You know, I'm doing soaking in the sanctuary. here. And sometimes I've got people come, but there's something I'm learning, especially after we got back from the retreat. It's like in the waiting, there is a refining thing. There's something that happened. Now, can you imagine Moses went up to the mountain to meet with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights? You see, some of us, we can't even sit here for 30 minutes and not move around. You get antsy. Everywhere scratched. Everywhere is itchy. Can you sit and wait? Oh, I'm just fidgety, right? That's the word you use? I just can't sit still. What about the word that says be still and acknowledge? Be still and try to quiet the mind. And then, of course, you got a group who wants to find peace. Don't get me wrong. It's good to exercise. I'm not promoting anything here. If I mention yoga, I'm not saying you should do or you should not do, you know? The Holy Spirit should lead you, but you should stretch and exercise. But people are trying to find peace. You know, they go to exercise class, trying to find peace. You're trying to find peace. Where? Peace is found nowhere except in a deep relationship with Jesus. And we just read that verse. When you let the Spirit lead you, when you obey the Spirit, then you find peace. I tell you, this word right there should just like light your heart on fire. Like, man, God, thank you. Well, maybe I'm the only one here, but I know I'm not. You guys are a little shy, but it's okay. Oh, verse 4, but beloved, but you who belong to God, my dear children, you have already won a victory over these people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. Amen? Those people belong to this world, so they speak from the world's viewpoint. And the world listens to them. But we belong to God, and those who belong to God listen to us. If they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us. That is how we know if someone has the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. And I tell you, there are many spirit of deceptions out there. When you listen to so many voices and you're not set in your conviction, guess what? You're going to be washy-washy. Oh, what should I believe? What do you believe? You know, I had it here. It says, do not love the world. But, you know, the world has no problem telling you what you should believe. The world has no problem telling you how you should be. As a matter of fact, the world is redefining everything for you. The world is redefining God. The world is redefining truth. The world is redefining what man is, what women is, what a child is, what a guitar is, what a car is. They're redefining everything, and you see there's, and you've got this majority of people who wants to, I mean, they just find themselves in this bubble, right? Because they don't know where they stand. What do you believe? You believe God is the Almighty? Do you believe that the Son came to die for your sin? Oh man, we all know Jesus didn't die, he wasn't born December 25th, but nobody's gonna stop me from celebrating the birth of Christ. As a matter of fact, we celebrate the birth of Christ every day. But when it comes to the end of the year, there is a season called Christmas. Merry Christmas, we'll say it. I like this. That's how we know if someone has the spirit of God and the spirit of deception. So I'm just going to read the rest of the chapter, and then we'll continue next week. It says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Now, the question, big question we could ask ourselves here is, what is love? Love is kind. Love does nothing that makes people, when I say angry, love is not boastful. Love is kind. Love is self-sacrificial. Love doesn't tick. Right? They say when two ticks get married, eventually, there won't be any life. Or even if one tick get married to another good person, the tick will suck the life. Then the relationship become a life-sucking relationship. That's why young people, you guys here, I talk to my children. I said, yeah, you do your part, but make sure whoever you get married to, make sure they're in love with Jesus. Because when they're in love with Jesus, you know what's going to happen? The same thing that happened to me and my wife. We fight, but because I'm so in love with Jesus, we got to fix it, honey. Yeah, man. It's like, I really don't like you right now. But man, when I go to Jesus, it's just like, man, come on, man. You can't talk to me. You're not good with her. Go get good with her. And then I go get good with her, and then I come to Jesus. It's not religion. And I think that's one thing. And I say, here at our church, we are a place of, help me, Sam, we are a place of love. We are a place of acceptance. Because when I look at the kingdom, there's a currency of the kingdom. Love, acceptance, forgiveness, and honor. God loves us unconditionally. No condition, right? Anybody else like me looking for unconditional love? Yes, please fill me up. So give me Jesus. And that's the community we want here. We want a community who love, knows how to love unconditionally. Love you where you're at. Accept you where you're at. Because I can't change you. Holy Spirit can change you. But guess what? We're going to create an atmosphere. You either going to grow. You're going to stick around. Anybody who wants to go, they'll stick around. If they don't want to go, they won't stick around. Oh yeah, I have no problem if they don't want to stick around because they don't want to grow. But everybody who wants to grow closer to Jesus, closer as a community, come live in a common unity, guess what? You're going to find connection. Let us love, because if you say you love God and you hate another brother, and that's one of the key theme in the book of 1 John. And I love this. I don't know where I saw it. It says you cannot pretend to love God and treat people like garbage. You know, and what? We know who likes garbage. When the garbage starts stinking in the house, you're like, come take this garbage out. Nobody's like, when come on, put this garbage a little closer, right? Bring it a little closer. No. We don't mess with garbage. Thank God for the garbage that goes around. I mean, that goes to the dump. We cannot love God and mistreating people, not being kind to people. We need to show them respect. You show respect and you don't judge. You show them love. Verse 11, it says, dear friends, since God loves us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives within us. Now, this verse goes hand in hand with with John 7:35, where it says, they will know we are children by children of the Lord by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. That's it. Because God is love. They will know you are a servant of the Lord by the way you love. No one has ever seen God. Listen to this. But if we love each other, God lives in us. And his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his spirit as proof that we live in him and he is in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Verse 15. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them. Okay? That's confession. That this is salvation. You believe in your heart, you confess that Jesus is Lord. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. Do you see John? It's the same John that wrote the book of John. If you read the book of John, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gives his only son. God is love, and all who lives in love lives in God. So you check, if you know, if you, you will know you in God if you love. Love gives. Love is kind. And God lives in them. Verse 17. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. You see maturity right there? See, 25 years later, I learned to love my wife. The way we're loving right now, it wasn't like that before. The older my kids are getting, I'm learning to love them. I've been in ministry for 20 years, been in full-time for 14 years. I have even learned how to love God's people better. Why? Because I'm growing in God's love. The more you grow in God, the easier it will be for you to love. So if you see it's hard for you to love people, check your God's meter. Your meter with your relationship with God, check that meter. Maybe it's empty. Because the more you're growing in God's love, the more you're like, man, they took advantage of me. They backstabbed me. You will forgive. You will be like, what other options I have? I will forgive. The more you grow in God, the easier it will be for you to forgive. The more you grow in God, the easier it will be for you to accept people. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. And if we are afraid, it is not. It is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loves us first. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command. Those who love God must also love people. Amen? Alyssa, come play. Father, we thank you. We thank you that your desire is to be with us as well. You know, you've showed us what love is. You have. Today, Lord, we receive your love. We accept the fact that you love me so much that you gave it all. So I could experience life. Life to its fullness. I don't have to wait to die to experience life. Eternal life. We can experience eternal life. You know, in eternal life, you find healing, restoration. You find joy. You find peace. You find brotherly a community. You find family. So, Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your word, Lord. We love you, Father. You are so good to us. You're so good. I'll invite you to stand. As I pronounce a benediction, I declare and decree, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. I declare and decree in the name of Yeshua that may every weapon, every weapon that formed against you, your children, against this church, against your family, we stand in the presence of God right now. I declare and decree that those weapons will not prosper. May the Lord bless you in your coming and in your going, and may you experience his peace that surpasses all understanding. In Jesus' name I pray. God's people say, amen. God bless you guys. Make it a great day and a great week.